Praise the Lord. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And I was just sitting, thinking how much better it would be to be with him right now than we enjoy good things down here. I'm not complaining, but how much more it will be to be in his presence constantly. And look forward to it. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, as we just come before you once again, Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands at this time, Lord. May you just settle our thoughts, Lord, settle our hearts, Lord, to worship and praise you this afternoon, Lord, and to receive from your word, Lord. And we commit all things and each person into your hands at this time, and those that might be listening as well. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll make a start. Let's sing number 344. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ to His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ to His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done.
Let's sing number 319. It will be worth it all.
Oft times the day seems long, and it's hard to bear. One in heaven.
Items this afternoon? Okay. Just checking. Let's sing number 307 and then we'll have testimonies if there is any.
Behold what manner of man is this who stands between God and man. Lies her flame on fire and his name is in his hand. God is born with the seven churches and silent praise thee. Behold, what manner of man is he? What manner of man is he? He is the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. Pray out Spirit of the Lord is
Lord, are you grateful for that? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one that started it. He's the one that's going to finish it. And in your life and in my life. Now, is there any testimonies this afternoon? At all. No? The Lord is good?
Amen.
Love the Lord?
Amen.
Testimony in itself, then. Praise the Lord. We'll sing one more, and then I'll get Brother Alpha to bring the message. 159. He is my everything. He is my all.
Amen.
There was one there.
He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything. Oh, great and small. He gave himself.
I was just thinking, actually, how do you know if something tastes good? You have to partake of it yourself. And that's what many people probably don't do. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I wonder if we can stand for the reading of God's word found in the book of John, chapter 21. Verse 18. Verily I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. May God bless his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, for a few moments that you would just speak to us concerning these things, Lord, that pop up in our life all the time. Help us, Lord, to be careful. Watch ourselves. We don't get caught into this trap, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak about being distracted. Distraction's a terrible thing. It's an awful thing. Distraction. And this problem of distraction is actually very common. Very common. And it needs to be addressed. I'll tell you what distraction means, because I looked it up in the dictionary to get it right. It says, divert, draw away attention, perplexity, confusion, and internal conflict. That's what distraction means. And Jesus made it clear to Peter, there is no room for distraction. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So Peter was probably, I've often said, asking a pretty spiritual question. Lord, what should John do? What's going to happen to John? Jesus turned to him and said, what is that to thee, Peter? Follow thou me. What a good answer that was. Peter thought, I wasn't expecting that answer. But he's right, I need to follow him. And our walk with God is totally independent. Does not depend on church, the preacher, circumstances or feelings. It depends entirely on God and his mercy towards us. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It's his mercy towards us. Nobody can be a part of your relationship and communion with God. It's just one-way track. You and God. God and you. Now we can have fellowship with one another, of course. But I'm talking about our personal relationship with Christ. The Bible, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You've got to dwell in the secret place. And we need to be in the secret place. And you've got to turn off your televisions. Hope you don't have TV. What I'm saying is you can have all this stuff going and not having time with God. The Bible says that we need to wait on the Lord. This secret place is made only for two, God and you. You cannot make your wife or your husband or your best friend. You cannot take them in with you. You go alone. Many times we look for excuses to explain our lack of fellowship with God. We really do. We try and explain it away why our lack of fellowship with God. It's like blaming the next door neighbor on your poor marriage. It's nothing to do with others. It's between you and God. And this is a bad trait, human trait, which we tried to bring into our walk with God. When we first came to the Lord, we were happy, at peace with all, because our joy was based on our love and appreciation for God. Nobody else was involved. When God dealt with your life, and it does not, and so does it remain on that basis. I remember when I first had fellowship with the Lord, I first met the Lord face to face. He changed my life, filled me with the Holy Spirit. The best place that I had fellowship with God was in bed. I used to wait in bed and I used to pray and wait for the Lord to come. And did he come? I'm telling you, it wasn't my spirituality. It was the goodness of God. And he came down into that room. Because I had brothers there too, us snoozing away. And I used to wait until I heard them snoring. Wait till I heard their breathing, rather. And to see when they were asleep. When they were asleep, I said, Lord, I'm ready now. The God is my judge. There he was. And I pray for a few hours, Brother Keith. Tears just run down my cheeks as a young man. I was only about 14. But boy, I tell you what, I was hungry for the Lord. And I just didn't want anything to distract me from that fellowship and communion with him. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. If it's not personal, then we need a further true experience with him. So what things distract us? Oh my, you could make a huge list here. But I'm not going to do that. Number one, as Peter found out, looking at others. Now, I'm not getting at you. I'm getting at myself. When you start looking at others, you start going down. And when he said to the Lord, what shall this man do? You know, maybe Peter was sincere about that question, asking. And in a spiritual way, but Jesus dealt with it right there. Satan's works hard for us to notice how others perform. Why are they doing that? Well, why are they like that? Why don't they go to church or something like that? That's what he does. He gets you to look at others. And while you're looking at others, you are not looking at yourself. Their performance has nothing to do with our walk with God. The truth is, while we look at others, we forget to check ourselves. We mentioned this the other day, but I want to mention it again. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. So he wasn't speaking it out loud, but he prayed inside. Lord, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here. What a terrible way to pray. I'm glad I'm not like him, Lord. I fast twice a week. Ooh. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, maybe he's right down the back of the church where Brother Paul is. Not saying you're a publican, brother. But right down the back there, and when he was praying, he didn't even look up to heaven. He had his hand down and he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Isn't that wonderful? What a different... I want to be down where Brother Paul is. I want to pray like that. Lord, be merciful unto me a sinner. I'm not going to say, oh, Lord, why is Sister Pauline doing that? Or why is Brother Tatu or something? Waste of time. God will not be impressed with you. So what an example it was. He had no time to look at other believers. He was looking inward. Jesus gave another example in Matthew 7:3. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam or the log that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And Jesus was pretty straight. The minute you're looking at others, you're wrong. Right there, you're wrong, period. You should be looking down here and say, Lord, be merciful to me, Lord. I'm the one that needs God. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, down in the need of prayer. Do you believe that? Absolutely. And coupled with looking at a person is looking at the church. You know, brother and sister, where you have people, you will have imperfections. That is a fact of life. Doesn't matter which church you go to. I always say, if you find a perfect church, whatever you do, don't join it. Because it's perfect before you came. And when you come, you see all the imperfections. And it doesn't become perfect in your eyes. You'll never find a perfect church. So finding a great church will never change you. These are all distractions to the real problem. If you had the best pastor or even a prophet, it would change nothing. It's all between you and God. Those things are okay. But you've got to search your own heart. Unless there was a change in your heart towards your Lord. You know, the children of Israel had one of the greatest prophets there was. There's no one like Moses, the meekest man on earth. And they had him as their pastor. They saw the greatest miracles ever performed. They saw God daily. They saw God daily. You say, oh, I'd love the Lord to appear to me. Who's ever said that? Have you ever said, I'd love the Lord to appear to me? Would you like an angel to come into your prayer room? I do. They saw an angel of the Lord every night. They looked out the tent window, out the tent flap. There was a pillar of fire. I've often said this to people, but I mean it with all my heart. I would have pulled up my tent, Brother Keith, and I would have taken that tent and been right underneath that pillar of fire. I mean that. Who means that? Would you shift your tent to be under the presence of Almighty God? Absolutely I would. Then I'd just lie up in my pillow, open the tent door, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Just to talk to him. Do you want to talk to the Lord? So that's what he wants us to do, is keep our eyes on him. And these are all distractions that are real problems. You have this and you have that, and as I said, you can have the best preacher and all that. Unless there was a change in your heart towards your Lord, it's sad news. They saw the greatest miracles. Nobody saw miracles like Israel. Oh, can I ask you a question? When did you last see the ocean open? Anyone see the ocean open? Have you ever walked through it? No one. Who's ever seen the pillar of fire come down and the cloud by day? Every day. No one. Have you ever had your clothes never wear out? Never have to go to the shopping? Go and do your shopping because your clothes never wore out. Who's ever seen the water come from the rock? None of you. But Israel saw it all the time. But you know what? Their heart was not right with God. Apart from a few. They had all those things. But most were lost. And went to a lost eternity. They were actually lost. God was very angry with them. Except for a few under the age of 20. The disciples had Jesus, God, walking in flesh. I tell you, I've had all these thoughts. Excuse me, but I've had these thoughts. I thought if I was there, I would go everywhere Jesus went. Would you? Who would want? I'd just make sure I'm there. I would just make sure I'm with him. I don't care if I get hot. I have to work. He wants me to tie his shoelaces, whatever it is. I'll do anything just to be with Jesus. Who wants to be with Jesus? And brother and sister, if you really mean that, you can be. He's with us now. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we need to get our eyes off people, off churches, off ministries, and come to God just as we are. They got distracted many times. Another thing is circumstances can be a real distraction. Another distraction to our walk and fellowship with God. When everything's going smoothly, we feel God is pleased with us. How false. Just because everything's going smoothly, God is with us and then he's pleased with what we're doing. Not necessarily. Or things are going wrong, then God is displeased. Just as false. There's so many examples. I cannot do it tonight or today because I don't want to make it late. But circumstances cannot be relied upon. When Job's friend saw him so sick, they claimed he was a secret believer, a secret sinner. We're going to get this right. He was a secret sinner. Even his wife, after losing everything, she said, "Curse God and die, Job." And he said, "Thou speakest like a foolish woman." What a distraction that was. But not for Job. He lost everything. He lost his house. He lost his cars, his camels. He lost everything. He lost his sons and daughters in one day. That's circumstances. But he loved the Lord, and he made offering for those children regardless, because he wanted to see them there. And I believe God heard his prayer. So blessings is another thing. There's no sign that you're right with God. God does bless his children, that is true. But blessings are not a sign of his approval either. What did the Lord say about our generation? Revelation 3:17, we've read this recently. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I like this 17. The first part of 17 is us speaking. The latest in people. He said, "I am rich, I am increased with goods. I have a really good job. I get really paid well. I have nothing. I have need of nothing. Got everything I need." That's what we say. Then God speaks. "And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Praise be to God. So we see natural blessings can be a total distraction. To your actual state before God. It's scary to me. If I feel the presence of God, he's with me. He's blessing me. Not necessarily. Many felt the presence of God and they weren't right with God. They did signs and wonders and still not right with God. In Luke 12:16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where I bestow my fruits? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down the barns and build greater ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Watch that ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And those whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus' disciples were controlled by outward circumstances. They were all the time until Pentecost. Things changed greatly, praise the Lord. As long as Jesus was there in the meetings, they were courageous. As long as people are in good meetings or conventions, they are happy. But when then circumstances change, they're tossed to and fro. I've seen it, you've seen it. We've seen people in here, we have 300 or 400 people here. And everyone's rejoicing, everyone's on fire. Then after the meeting, maybe 6 months later, you can't even find them. I don't want that. I want to be on fire for the Lord all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 14:22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. I've been on that sea. I've been on that sea. It's a beautiful sea. Very beautiful. But it can flare up really quickly. Comes over the Golan Heights. You can see them. Wind comes down there. And within moments, that sea can be turned into a turmoil. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. How many have done that? How many have had to say, Lord, save me? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when thou come into the ship, the wind ceased. Isn't that interesting? When they got on the ship with Jesus, it flattened down. As long as Peter had his eyes fixed on Christ, he kept walking on the water. We're taught about distractions. And when he began to look at the circumstances around him, he started to sink. Peter could not look at the waves and Jesus at the same time. And he turned his eyes toward Jesus and cried, Lord, save me. He did. So the Lord was in the trial, and Peter, Learn to trust Jesus all the way. Now, brother and sister, distractions are a terrible thing. You can be all blessed and walking on the water. It's great. And in a moment, circumstances change. You say, God, save me. Why? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Strange things, trials are strange. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what we should all do at all times? Give thanks unto our Lord. It's really good to give thanks to the Lord. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I'll just read that from the Amplified, actually. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer, the mediator of that will. So it's not when God blesses only, but even when things go wrong. It may go wrong tonight for you. Just remember, he is faithful. Amen. And he'll be with you in the trial. Give him praise anyway. Another thing is, people distracted from what God has asked you to do. This is a very serious issue. I'm sure we can all relate to the sneer of the enemy. How many times have we become earnest about serving God? And before long, to our absolute horror, we deviate from the call. Has anyone ever done that? Three of you. Four? You have. Four. Five, six. You know God has told you to do something, and through circumstances, you change. You deviate from what God's told you to do. So may God help us all. How many times that has happened? It happens in such a subtle way, sometimes unnoticed. The Bible says Jesus steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. And it was prophesied to be so. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he had you in mind. He's going to die for you. His blood's going to be shed and fall on the ground so that you can have eternal life. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
He did that and he's steadfastly going to do it. His mind was fixed. He wasn't distracted by the crowds. He wasn't distracted by other things. Then turn to Isaiah 57. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. In Luke 9:51, it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Does anyone love him with me?
Amen.
Because he did that, he wasn't distracted. If he had been distracted and he didn't go, you'd all be lost. We'd all be lost. Don't you love that resolute and unwavering attitude of our Lord? To do the will of God. David said, my heart is fixed. You know, I just want a fixed heart. I'm not satisfied with my heart. Be not fixed. We're going to do something, let's do it. So I get tired. Jesus got tired. I said about Jesus, you know, he'd been out in the Judea sun preaching to the multitudes on the hillside. And he came home weary, tired, hot. Maybe he laid down for a few moments. Maybe he had a bite to eat. And the Bible says then he went up to the mountain to pray all night. He had to do it. And so do you. We're just going to have to do it. Especially as the pressure mounts upon us. We've spoken about Pilgrim's Progress, demonstrated several times. How easy it is to be taken out of the way of following the Lord. Maybe God is calling you to spend more time in prayer. And out of the blue comes an unusual amount of distractions. Like you've never believed. God's told you should be waiting on God. Now you've got everything happening. Things you've got to do. Oh, I'm just getting so busy with all this. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And what he told you to do, it's gone. You've been distracted. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Maybe God is calling you to do that. People ring you up, invite you out to things less important. I'm not saying you can't do that. But when it takes your time, you just got to learn to say no. I'll appreciate that, but actually I just need time at home or I've just got to do something, sorry. They say that in Sicily, Italy. Sister Anna knows where that is, I'm sure. In Sicily, Italy, the herbs in that certain wood and fields smell so exceedingly sweet that the hunting dogs lose all scent of their prey. Now that is really something, isn't it? The dogs go running out there and they hit that scent and they're, oh, so wonderful. Then they can't smell the prey anymore. They get distracted. And so we are unable to hunt and give up the chase. They're unable to hunt and give up the chase, and they give up the chase. Let us be aware of such herbs. It's so easy to lose our vision and purpose of our calling through distractions. It was too much for me. I thought I was going to do it, but I just can't do it. Well, Jesus did it. He was weary and tired. Jesus maybe sat down many times with a headache, worn out. And he went up the next day and he went out just the same, prayed for the sick. So how do we deal with distractions as we bring this to a close? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's exactly what Jesus told Peter. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Here's another one here, Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. If God's calling you, drop what you're doing and follow him. Where he leads me, I will follow. We sing that song. Our biggest problem today is self-made distractions. Satan will use every trick in the book to distract you and I from the Lord. Are we willing to forsake all and follow the Savior and Lord of our lives? Here's one here that some people don't understand. Luke 14:25. This applies to all of us. And there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his very own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the Lord wants to say you've got to hate your parents. But if you lift anything up before God, in place of God, above the Lord, you can't be his disciple. He wants all of you. He wants 100% of you. Do you believe that? Are you willing to do it? That's the thing. Our complete satisfaction is what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are complete in him. We don't need any external supports. We are kept by the power of God. I love that. We are kept by the power of God. If he doesn't keep you, you're history. Who believes that? Amen. You must trust in the Lord. Let us keep our focus on the cross of Jesus Christ. In him is joy unspeakable and full of glory. If we're being distracted, there are symptoms. We need to get our eyes back on him. Our prayer life is suffering. Our prayer life is suffering. Our prayer life is suffering. I don't know why I said that. And time in his word is being neglected. Be like Peter when he was distracted. Lord, save me. Do you love the Lord? Shall we stand for prayer, brother and sister? Lord Jesus, we are all just dust. You know that we are flesh. You remember that we are flesh. You know, Lord, that we get tired and weary. You understand that, Lord. I don't believe you want us to flog ourselves. But sometimes, Lord, we just get so easy distracted. I really should pray, but. Why, you want me to testify that person, but. We're distracted because of other things. I pray, Lord, you forgive us and help us, Lord, to be more faithful and true to thee. Lord, be with each one today. Lord, as we go out this week, Lord, give us a burden. May our hearts be fixed, steadfast and looking to you. We commit ourselves to thee, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray you'll bless everyone here and those listening with us too. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Your vision of Jesus, keep your eyes ever on him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They have lost their way. Brother and sister, we need to be resolute. We need to have a determination. As David said, my heart is fixed. There's no turning back. Others will turn back. They'll fall by the wayside. Some on your left hand, some on your right. But by the grace of God, we're going all the way. Who's going to go all the way with our Lord? By His mercy, we'll be there. Let's turn to 210, Nancy. I've decided to follow Jesus. Who's decided to follow Jesus? Well, let us sing it with all our hearts. Praise the Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Back from before me, the world behind me, that cross before me. Talking about being resolute, putting his heart fixed on what he's doing. Do you know his disciples, 70 of them, Brother Tatu, left him. They're gone. Every one of them went back. And he said to the 12 disciples, he said, will you also go? And blessed little Peter spoke up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. So there's no turning back. We are right at the finishing line. This is the time to be steadfast. This is the time to mean business with God and seek the Lord. Well, he's coming soon, as we said this morning. Though none go with me. Brother Tim. Though none go with me.
Just close in prayer and then we'll just sing one more before we go. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace unto us, Lord, that, Lord, you're the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. You started the work, Lord, and you're surely going to finish it, Lord Jesus. As we just yield ourselves unto you, Lord, and Lord, may you come, Lord, and continue to draw us unto yourself, Lord, and cause us to walk, Lord, in your word and the things that you would have us do, Lord, and the work that you would have for us in our lives, Lord Jesus. So I just commit each person here and each heart into your hands at this time as we go away. And bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. How about let's sing number 49, Everybody Ought to Know.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. The bright and morning sun.
Each one, you are dismissed, and not forgetting Tuesday night prayer meeting. God bless you.